on the study of God called theology. And when we study theology, we break it down into sections. We talk about God the Father, and then we talk about God the Son, Christology, and then we talk about God the Holy Spirit, pneumatology. How do we know there's a God in heaven? How do we know that we are here by divine creation? How do we know that He made all things that we see? How do we know who He is, what He is like, what His nature is, how He desires to know man and for man to know Him? How do we know these things? God has given us a book. God has given us the Word of God, the Bible. God has revealed Himself. Revelation is an important study. The doctrine of God making Himself known to mankind. How does He do that? Many different ways. God reveals Himself. And so that's what we're studying the last couple of weeks. And tonight we want to talk about self-revelation, how God has revealed Himself to mankind. We said last week in our study that God has revealed Himself in the material and animal creation. In the material world, the things that God has made, the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth, mountains, rivers, trees, plants, rocks, and all the animal kingdom, God made it all. And He revealed Himself through the orderliness and the purpose of creation. And Psalm chapter 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." And we took a look at that word firmament and understand that it means everything that we can see. When we look up, we see the clouds and the birds and everything that is in the sky. And we see beyond that, at nighttime, we see the stars, the beautiful manifestation of the heavenly bodies that God has created, including the sun and the moon. And then we look down and we look around and we see everything below the sky that God has created, everything physical, tangible, everything we can taste and feel and see. And then the things that we can't see, like the wind and the wonderful works of God that He does, the miracles. And God has revealed Himself through the creation of material things and through the animals. And secondly, obviously, God has revealed Himself in the creation of man. And because of the nature and constitution of man, God has shown what He is like. The nature of man, that's what man is like. Man is fruitful. God says, "Be fruitful and multiply." And man has been doing that for many centuries. God has created man just like He, to be a creative being, to be able to think and reason and understand principles and practices and be able to formulate and make new things. And thus man has been given the ability to build cities and technology, to build all kinds of inventions and all kinds of things that help us to live on this planet and prosper and do well. That's just like God. God is a creative being, and so are we. We have the ability to do that. We have the ability of orderliness. God is an orderly God. The planet, He didn't just create the stars and throw them out there and the planets, but there's an order to the universe. There's an order to the way God created things. There's an order in which He created things. And so man has been given the innate ability to do things orderly so that not everything is chaos. We live in a chaotic world for sure, but that's because of the sin of mankind. But when we're talking about orderliness, we're talking about being able to go through an order of steps and say, okay, in order to build a house, I need to lay a foundation. I need to put some kind of walls on that foundation. I need to put plumbing and electricity in the walls. I need to put a roof on it. I need to finish the interior. There are steps that you go through to accomplish a goal. God is an orderly God. And so many other characteristics. We could go on. We could continue all night. But we talked about that last week. God has created man with a nature and a constitution. The constitution is what man is made of. God is a tripart God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and he created man as a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit, which correspond to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in a unique way. God has revealed himself through the creation of man. In the image of God created he him. And then God, thirdly, tonight, we want to start in the very basic essence of God's revelation by speaking. God speaks to mankind. And we've already touched on this subject a bit, as I'll explain a little bit later. But God spoke directly to mankind himself. And here in Genesis chapter 6, we saw just an example. I'm looking at examples of where God spoke to man. And the point is worded this way by the scholar who put this outline together. He says, God revealed himself in the primitive and direct revelation to man. We're going to talk about the word primitive and direct here in just a moment, but direct is easiest to understand. God spoke directly to individuals and said specific things which mankind was able to understand because God, being God, is able to communicate to man on his level. And so we saw the examples of God speaking to Noah in Genesis 13, and God said unto Noah, those five words tell us a whole lot. When did God say these things to Noah? Well, we call that primitive revelation because it was long before any recorded history of mankind. God preserved what he said to Noah, and that preservation of the words that God spoke to Noah eventually became recorded history. And thanks to Moses, we have the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch, and that is the history of the earliest record of man's relationship with God. And then direct revelation, God didn't just say in general, and Noah happened to hear it. But God spoke directly to an individual with specific instructions. The same thing was true with Abram. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, and the things that God said to Abram applied to Abram, no one else. And so we know it was direct communication, and again it was primitive revelation because it was before the history of mankind was really recorded. And you might get the idea, and I don't want you to get the idea, that these are the only two examples of God's direct revelation to mankind. There's lots of other examples in the Bible, and I just listed some of them for you. Even before Moses and Abram, it says in Genesis 3:9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said, so he spoke directly and primitively to Adam. And then in Genesis 4, verses 6 and 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, he spoke directly and primitively to Cain. And then in Genesis 6, 3 and 7, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, etc., etc. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. It doesn't specifically say to whom God is speaking there, but we assume perhaps it was Noah. Nevertheless, it was primitive and direct revelation to someone. And again, it was eventually recorded for us in the words of Scripture. In Genesis 7:1, and in addition to Genesis 6, where we read that the Lord said unto Noah, in verse 13, and in Genesis 7:1 again, we read, and the Lord said unto Noah, and then it's followed by a lengthy discussion of how he's to finish the ark and bring the animals two by two, and clean animals and unclean animals, and specific instructions, a lengthy discussion. So God is speaking directly to Noah and primitively before recorded history. God spoke to Abram more than once. Four times we read in the Scripture, the Lord said unto Abram, and then four times again we read in the Scripture, the Lord said unto Abraham after he changed his name. So God spoke directly and primitively to Abraham at least eight times. In Genesis 31:3, we see the Lord said unto Jacob, and goes on with a discussion with Jacob. And then Aaron, the Lord said unto Aaron in Exodus 4:27. And then David in 1 Samuel 23:2 and 2 Samuel 5:19 and 1 Kings 8:18. Now there's only three references in Scripture that say God said unto David. Direct communication from God, direct revelation from God. But there are many mentions of David in the Psalms, especially many mentions of David speaking with God and getting an answer. But I'm just looking where it says, and God said to David, or God spoken to David. Now, let me back up a little bit here. We talked about Moses. We started with Moses in Exodus chapter 4, verse 4. God spoke to Moses for the first time. And I probably did not count very accurately, perfectly accurately, but as best I could, I counted 920 times in the Bible where it says, and the Lord said unto Moses. And so that now I understand why I've heard people say God spoke to Moses more than any other person in the Bible. But Moses was given the law and all the details of the law and the instructions for building the tabernacle and the Ten Commandments and so much. And God was giving that revelation directly and primitively to Moses. Praise the Lord for the revelation of God. It shows us that God wants people to know who He is. Amen? And then the fourth point that we want to just touch on is God has revealed Himself in the miraculous and providential works of God. Or we could simply say in the things that God has done. What does God do? If you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4, we'll see an example of God's work among mankind. Deuteronomy 4, 33 to 35. Moses' record of what God said here is very clear about the revelation of the existence of God. The God who created the world and chose a race to be His chosen people, God said, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Talking to Moses, you heard God speak out of the midst of the fire, and you're still alive to talk about it, Moses. In verse 34, or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? What's he talking about? The Exodus, taking Israel, taking the Jews out of Egypt. Has God done that? By temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you. We ought to underline that phrase. According to all that the Lord your God did for you. God wants us to know who He is, and what He does, and what kind of a God He is. He loved the people of God, the Israelites. He made them promises, promises to Abraham, promises to Jacob, and He is performing those things before their very eyes as He takes them out of the land of Egypt and then leads them to the promised land. Verse 35, unto thee it was showed or shown that thou mightest, underline it, know that the Lord, He is God. Again, a very simple argument, a very simple point. God has revealed Himself to mankind. God wants people to know who He is, because it's only through knowing who He is and what He has done, the complete plan of salvation included, that mankind can come to know Him personally and be rescued from perishing, or as we say, be saved. God wants people to know. It's not His will that any should perish. Amen? He wants people to know. And so God did all this for the nation of Israel. God miraculously gave them the law through Moses. In the fire, God spoke to Moses. God miraculously and providentially brought Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land, that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. He is the only God. We've talked about that before in our study of who is God. There is only one. There is none else like Him. On Monday evening of the Vacation Bible School, our boys and girls were hearing about God speaking to Moses through the burning bush. But here in verse 33, the fire out of which God spoke to Moses is referring to the smoke and the fire on Mount Sinai when God delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses. We hear about that again in Exodus chapter 19, verses 18 and 19 says, "And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." And God answered him, direct revelation, God answered him by a voice, showing him what he was going to do, give him the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, the law. And so we see in the wonderful, miraculous works of God that there is a God. He is revealing himself through the things that he does. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 10 elaborates a little bit more. It says, "And the Lord delivered unto me," Moses said, "the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone, written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly." I find it interesting that he says, these are the words which God spoke to you. Moses was up on the mountain. Moses was in the direct presence of God. Moses was hearing the word of God. Moses was seeing the finger of God write the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone. But he says, these are the things that God has said to you, to the nation of Israel. God has revealed himself through the things that he has done. And so we can praise God for that, that God has given the Word of God through mankind. While we talk about the works of God, we have to talk about God's Son too. The Lord Jesus Christ is a witness to the fact that God's works are unquestionable evidence of His existence. The works of God. In John chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, Jesus says, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not." In other words, Jesus came to do the works of his Father. He came in his Father's name. He came to glorify his Father. He came to do the work of his Father here on earth. "If I don't do that, don't believe me," Jesus said in plain language. "But if I do," verse 38, "but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." What's he saying? He is saying that God has unquestionably given evidence that he is God, that he exists, that he has revealed himself to mankind, that he wants man to know who he is and what he has done, and that salvation is available through him. C.J. Ridgway, speaking in the writing in the Biblical Illustrator, said this. Follow me. This is a little bit hard to follow, but you'll get the gist. Talking about the works of Jesus Christ, manifesting who God is, okay? C.J. Ridgway says, "We are dealing with the truth of the divinity of Christ as it has been proclaimed by Christendom ever since the day He lived and died on this earth. We are endeavoring to test the weight of evidence in favor of such a tremendous claim that He is indeed the Son of God. And in order to do this effectually, we need to summon certain witnesses before us that they may bear their testimony for or against it," the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The works of man, the works of a man, like his character and his words, are very eloquent. They speak for or against him. The works of the Christ, then, is our witness today. They are the works of one, the beauty of whose character and words is acknowledged by all men whose judgment is worth having. They bear witness of me, says the Christ. What do they say? Do they justify or condemn? Do they speak for or against him? The works of the Christ are many and manifold. There are works of love, of sympathy, of mercy. There are works of wisdom, of power, of greatness. There are works of warning, of judgment, of condemnation. But Jesus narrows the subject for us. The works that I do in my Father's name. It's quite clear that he is speaking of his miracles. The miracles of the Christ. They verify that Jesus Christ is none other than the Son of God. So God has revealed himself through the material and animal world that he has created. God has revealed himself through the creation of man, created in the image of God. God has revealed himself by speaking directly and prehistorically to mankind through ancient history. God has manifested himself through his miraculous works and miracles among men. Now, we have seven on your outline, seven reasons that we believe that God has revealed himself, seven ways that God has revealed himself to mankind, self-revelation. Point number four, to save time and use up the opportunities that God gave, on June 14th, 2021, I shared point number five, at a board meeting, and that is God has revealed himself in the experience and life of his people. You and I, God has revealed himself through how he works through his people. Using 1 Peter 2:9, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has revealed himself in the experience and life of his people. The Israelites were a chosen people to be a special people unto the Lord their God above all the people that were on the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7:6 says that all the nations might know, guess what, that he is God. Why did God work through the nation of Israel? He wants to reveal himself to mankind. He wants to show that he is God by his works among the people of God. Now we, the church, are set apart in the same way to proclaim the truth of the gospel. And we could use a lot of verses there, but I thought of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So God has revealed himself in the experience of his people. Point number 5F, God revealed himself in the Holy Scriptures. And we did this on Sunday evening, Pastor Zach, when you were away, June the 26th, and it fits so perfectly because Pastor Zach was talking about the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, how we got our Bible. And so this point says that God revealed himself in the Holy Scriptures. And we could use a lot of verses there as well, but we chose to use, first of all, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times, in many different ways, in diverse manners, God who at sundry times in diverse manners spake. He spoke to mankind in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible is God's handwritten message identifying not only what God looks like, his character, his nature, but everything we need to know about God in order to live a life of godliness and holiness. And so God has revealed himself. And then finally, self-revelation. God has revealed himself, how, very importantly, in the Lord Jesus Christ, through his Son. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, he hath declared him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 tells us that Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the mirror reflection of the invisible God. John 1:14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, Philip saith unto him, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. What did Jesus say? Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So those are the notes from the last three points. And as Pastor Zach did, there are a few copies of these notes on the table there in the foyer. If you'd like to, maybe if you missed those sessions and you'd like to go back and review that information and look at more details there. But very simply, how do we know there is a God in heaven, and how do we know who he is? Revelation. God has revealed. He has shown us that he exists and showing us who he is and what he does. God has revealed himself through the material and animal world, through the creation of man in the image of God, by speaking directly to men of ancient history, through his miraculous works and miracles, through the miraculous and providential works of God, in the experience and life of God's people, in the Holy Scriptures, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, God wants the world to know him, to know his love, to know his righteousness, his desire to have an eternal relationship with us. The question is, do you know, or do you know someone who needs to know the Lord God of heaven? I thought immediately of the words of John near the close of his gospel in John 20, 30 and 31, where he says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing ye might have life through his name. God has revealed himself that we might have life, eternal life. The great gift of God that we're talking about in 1 Timothy this week and next. Father in heaven, we thank you for your revelation to us, the self-revelation. There's many other areas of revelation that we want to explore. We want to talk about your personality, who you are specifically by your characteristics. We want to talk about your greatness, the great things you can do, because you are God. Only God can do these things. We want to talk about other areas of revelation to mankind. And why? Because you want the world to know who you are. You want us to know who you are. You want us to grow in the grace and knowledge of not only our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but of the Father in heaven. And so, Lord, as we study your word, give us a hunger and a thirst to know more and more about you, more and more about Jesus Christ, that we might learn every day a little bit better how to glorify you and present you to a world that has not yet seen you, that they might see you through us, that they might come to believe that you are who you have revealed yourself to be in the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.